Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody,
is this thing on?
Is this thing on? 2017? Hello?
Wow, Happy New Year,
Happy
guy.
New Year. Guy, right back at you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How was your holidays, holiday break?
It was quiet, which was a good thing. You know, just laid low around the house, just kind of prepping and gearing up for everything. So it was a quiet holiday, but everybody is well, family's good. Well. You know, it's over with. It's the new year. Got lots of cool stuff.
New year, new me.
Yeah, all that good stuff, man. You know, it's kind of funny. I was going through. Well, first of all, Rude asked me, "How was your New Year, man?"
New Year was pretty low key. It involved, you know, Thai food, Uno, and a sleeping baby. So
no, it didn't consist of Jaeger bombs and Uber rides.
No Jaeger bombs, nor were there Uber rides necessary. In fact,
I feel like that's the New Year combo number one. Jaeger bomb and Uber rides.
Yeah, absolutely, especially nowadays.
I got $20 in my pocket. What are you going to get? Jaeger bomb and an Uber ride.
No doubt about it. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. I guess the highlight of my New Year's, besides beating my wife in Uno, was the Mariah Carey performance on the Ryan Seacrest show. I had to change it. It was that bad.
It was that bad, huh?
It was that bad. I changed the channel. I actually put on Carson Daly for like 5 minutes. And then I couldn't stand that. I'd rather watch the train wreck that was going on the other station. So
did you move on over to the CNN New Year or something?
No, I went from the Seacrest to the Carson Daly.
Okay.
And then I caught the tail end of the Mariah Carey, and I was just like, this is still happening. They haven't cut her off yet.
Usually the tail end has probably got to be the worst of her performance, I imagine, because she does all that carry-on stuff with her voice. And
well,
I imagine that was probably
did you hear what happened?
That got stuck in the hole?
No, the poo-poo that got stuck in the hole was she refused to sing. Allegedly, her in-ear monitors weren't working.
Come on.
And she couldn't hear any of the music on
stage. Do we have a little TMZ gossip going on right now in the Mac and Candela show?
Dude, it was, you know, because of what I do, I'm in television broadcast. This was the biggest live television train wreck I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
If you haven't watched it, do yourself a favor, go on there and watch it. Disaster from
YouTube that mug,
from the lip syncing fiasco that happened in the first 10 seconds to her throwing things and cussing out the audio engineer in the last 10 seconds and the awkward dancing that was happening in the middle while she's just talking trash.
Oh man.
Oh, it's so
really?
Worth it. Oh my gosh.
I'm surprised I didn't see a video of it being shared. I saw all the memes. I saw the Mariah Carey bashing going on in meme form, but you know, I'm a little surprised somebody didn't share that link. Like, here's that video to check it out. I'll check it out.
Do it.
Renee and I were busy playing Monopoly. We got down on the
Have
Monopoly.
You finished yet? Is it still going on?
No, we did
finish.
Are
you in the middle of an auction? Do you guys play auction?
Yes.
Okay.
The auction was a new thing to me, which I kind of chuckled when you had brought up the whole Uno thing and you had just got done beating Jen in Uno.
I beat her the first game, then I'm not going to lie. She wipe my ass the whole
yeah,
10 more games.
I lost my first board game experience to Renee. Chess, Battleship, Clue, Disney Clue. I'm the man at Disney Clue. All that stuff. She got me in Monopoly. And I swear, I'm not making excuses. She played very smart. So, yes, the answer to your question is it is over. She did win, but she will not beat me again.
Okay. You're onto the strategy.
I've
away from Park Place and Boardwalk. That's just too expensive. You got to get Baltics and you got to get the purple and the greens.
Tell me of it,
couple
man.
Railroads.
Look, you've got
some luxury on that.
You've got to own that southwest corner of that board. If you own the southwest corner of that board, it's game over, especially if you only have two people. And yes, the auction, the whole auction thing was the new. But auctions with
like
two people is just silly.
Yeah.
Let me throw that out there. And there was a speed die. Yeah. Draw a blank. Awkward dead airspace right there. A little speed die. After the first time going around, there was a third die that got thrown into the equation. And they've got little symbols on them. They're meant to speed up the game. I thought it was a great idea. I wasn't a fan. I'm convinced that speed die was the reason why I lost.
Yeah, that's not your stock monopoly.
No, of course not.
You can't upgrade. You can't get the non-factory monopoly. That's ridiculous.
Right. So, sports. Shall we get there?
Oh, is that what we do on this
show?
That is what we do.
So we can officially welcome everybody to the Mac and Candela Show, 2017 edition. It is episode 9 for us. We've been off a couple of weeks. We enjoyed the holidays. Family is very important. We hope everybody enjoyed their family time and their holidays as well. Looking forward to a big 2017. It's always good. I think the last time we were in here, though, there was some Kool-Aid being passed around this room.
Oh, man, it was royal blue, it wasn't even royal blue. It was Honolulu blue. It was Honolulu blue.
There was literally Kool-Aid flowing through this room last time we were on the air.
Yes.
And I think I need to start with that because I feel like I made an ass of myself, and I feel like I need to readdress that. I succumbed to the pressure of being hashtag put on the spot. In that last segment there, the last time we were on there, and you had asked me how far the Lions would go or
does
their season end, right? And I was going through it in my head, and I was going through every scenario, and of course I had to answer because I was on the spot.
You were on the spot,
and I had said that the Lions were actually going to clean sweep the last three games, I believe. And run their ass all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you said they were going to beat the Giants, beat Dallas, beat Green Bay, and then meet Thomas Brady and the New England Patriots and lose
in
the Super Bowl.
I think time was running down on the show, and I think I actually said that they were going to win the Super Bowl. Did I not?
I thought you had them losing the Super Bowl, but if you did have them winning the Super Bowl, we need to get the archives out and replay
that. We've got the archive, and we could bring it up at some point. But either way, at 10:07 here on this Tuesday night, I have to declare myself full of shit, my friend.
So full of it, your blue eyes turned brown, my friend.
Yes. So that's it. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it, man. I was full of shit. That's all I can say about it. Now we can get more in depth about this past Green Bay game. I think my feelings with the Detroit Lions right now are still lingering from the Green Bay game. I was not upset with that line with the loss in New York. I was a little disturbed with the loss in Dallas, but the one that got me angry the most was that Green Bay loss, man. And I was a victim of it. I mean, you know how it's been like pulling teeth for me to be able to talk about the Lions on these shows. And there, man, I was balls deep in fandom for the Lions going into it, man. And I'm right back completely on the other side. In fact, I declared that I will make sure that not a single one of my children will be Lions fans. And I that part I'm going to stick to. I don't think I can quit them fully. I just tried. A decent season brought me right back on. They won in Green Bay. That was one of the things they were going to have to do.
We did it.
Exactly, man. And look, I was actually getting ready to send you that message. Hashtag we did it. When they closed out Green Bay at home, and they couldn't do it, man. They couldn't do it. What about you? I mean, I know deep down you're a Lions fan. I mean, I know you try and be objective, and you're pretty good at keeping a steady head with them. But how do you keep yourself from being
low expectations? I root for them every week, but I don't expect anything from them.
See, isn't that what got us here, though? The low expectations coming into the season, and then all of a sudden they're in first place with, you know, a 2-game lead with 3 weeks to go. And people were expecting a 6-win, 7-win season. So now all of a sudden you gotta smear that butter all over your roll.
I've seen it 100 times. This team plays in the NFC North, where there's Green Bay and 3 other teams. You never know what Minnesota, Chicago, or Detroit are going to be. You know Green Bay is going to be there. Then you look at the crossover games, Tennessee, Colts. And then you're like, oh, the Saints in November, that's going to be a tough one. Saints were garbage. Everything was garbage. They beat one 500 or better team this year, and that team didn't make the playoffs. I've been saying it all year round. Now, I'm not trying to hate. I'll be the first one to say it. I'm not trying to hate. They earned their way into the playoffs. Yeah, they lost the last 3, and they lost to the only good teams they played all year. But they did enough to get in, and that's all you have to do.
They did get into the playoffs. I'm not confident with what's about
team.
To happen.
Me either.
And see, that's the thing. As angry as I was after that Green Bay game, and I think what makes me angry about it is that, like you said, you never know what's going to happen with Chicago or Minnesota. You know what? As bad as Chicago was, I would be more confident with them beating Green Bay at home than I am than Detroit. There is something about, look, Detroit is a better team than Chicago. We all know that.
Yeah.
Detroit's a better team than Chicago. I think Aaron Rodgers has more confidence when he plays Detroit than he does Chicago.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the thing that bothers me the most, man.
Every team in the NFL circles that game. Oh, we're in Detroit. Oh, that's a win.
Well, that's the thing that bothers me, man, the most. And I don't know if that's the part that's I don't think that's ever really gotten talked about. You know, it's always Stafford and Cooter and Caldwell. Like, that's always the circulation of the conversation, I feel. But how is it possible for Aaron Rodgers to look at a game against Chicago and then look at a game against Detroit and seriously have more confidence going into Ford Field on Sunday Night Football? Like, yes, I will make the Lions my bitch. Because I don't think he would walk in there like that at Chicago or Minnesota. And they were horrible. Minnesota got off to a 5-0 start, but, I mean, their team died.
Watch out for Minnesota next season.
Absolutely.
They're going to be
right back. And I think that's part of the thing that's fraudulent about Detroit is the fact that they're up, you know, their come up was part of Minnesota's downfall, step back in the division as far as that goes, right?
And with Chicago without Cutler.
Right, right. But that's what I'm saying, though, man. With Minnesota's team just dying after week 5 completely,
right?
You know, and then the Bears just absolutely sucking, but yet Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has just got a stick for the Lions. Like, sorry. Like, yeah, you're better than those other teams, but I'm going to beat you worse than I beat them. The Bears scored like 27 or 31 points against Green Bay a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something.
My favorite
man.
Part of this entire magic that the Packers just did is the interview after the game the week before the Lions. They just won, and I think it was, you know, Salters or whoever was interviewing Aaron Rodgers after the game.
After they beat Minnesota?
Yep, and they said, you know what, we're not done yet. We got to go to Detroit. And you know what? We're going to go there and keep this streak going, and we're going to win. You know, he had nothing but confidence. And she said –
And it's not faulty confidence either.
Right. Well, she asked him the question. She said, are you that confident that you're going to go into Detroit and win? And he looked at her with a smile and said, you're just going to have to tune in, wait and see. Doesn't that just put fire in your eyes?
Yeah, man.
He knew.
Yeah.
He knew there was no way
they're
going into Detroit and losing to this team. Aaron Rodgers,
I got a
man amongst
I got
boys.
I got a 2-game lead on the hottest prom date in the school, and Aaron Rodgers is going to tell me he's going to come and take her two days before prom day. He took your tickets, he took your limo ride, he took your dinner stubs and your drink tickets, all on you, and took your girl. That's what Aaron Rodgers does to the Lions.
Yeah,
you paid for everything. You paid for everything to the prom trip, man. Of course, the adult prom trip because there's a drink stub. But you get what I'm saying. The guy literally comes in and steals everything from you, everything that you paid for. You just bought that new Xbox. He just walked into your house and took it. No, better yet, he just walked into your house, played you for it, and walked out with it. You only played one game with it. That's Aaron Rodgers with the Detroit Lions. And that, to me, is why I can never let any of my children become Lions fans, because they will never, ever, ever, ever,
ever, ever
be better than the Green Bay Packers. Ever.
That's why they're my 1B. Ugh. If you ask my brothers, they're 1A. They're,
you know,
we
had a conversation about that, though, too. So one of my buddies asked me, like, I'm emotionally invested into them. I can't quit them. I don't know what to do. And that made me think, like, you're right. But doesn't mean the future has to support that team. And then my other buddy says, well, it's a lot tougher. It's impossible, you know. And I'm like, well, why is it so hard? Well, he says, because I've got my boy who sits with me every week and watches these games with me. That's exposure. That's your fault. Just going to make sure none of my kids are exposed to Honolulu Blue and Silver. Simple as that. That's my feelings. I'm still disappointed with that loss. More so than any loss ever was that last loss against Green Bay this past week. Now, like you said, they're still in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs.
There's so much to talk about with the Lions, man.
I mean, okay, well, let's set it up this way.
Because even the fans were pissing me off. I'm angry about the game, but even the fans are pissing me off.
Now the fan. All right.
I know.
I ask?
What?
What set you off? What about the fans?
It wasn't Stafford guy 1.0. I don't care about him anymore.
No. I wasn't even going there. I was just, what about the fans? What are you trying to? You don't like the Lions fans right now. Are you talking about, like, the guys who, we're still in it, we still have a chance?
No.
Because that's what fandom is.
Yeah,
you know?
And that, you know, that's fine. I'm tired of the way fans talk about the team, not the team in general, because how am I going to say this without sounding like a hypocrite? Because I just spent the last nine minutes saying how emotionally disappointed I was with the Lions, right? Okay, I guess here's one of the first things. I'm disappointed with the Lions losing the last three games, but I refuse to sit here and say that they backed in. That's number one.
Okay, yeah,
I will give them the respect of being a playoff contender, but they are not a Super Bowl contender. And I think that, to me, talking myself through this now here, I think that's where I need to be at with the Lions, is except that they can always be a playoff contender, but they just will never be a Super Bowl contender, right? And I don't get down on the whole, you know, you've got all these fans calling into mainstream media, you know, talking about Jim Caldwell and how he needs to be fired. You know, look, I know there's a lot of people out there that want Jim Caldwell fired, but you also wanted Jim Schwartz fired. Good old Jim Schwartz. You wanted a head coach that was going to bring, quote-unquote, discipline and structure to this team, right? Nobody cared about anything else. What was the biggest turnoff about Jim Schwartz?
He's a nice guy, right?
I mean, he was intense. He had a team that wasn't very disciplined.
Yeah, penalties.
Right. But wasn't that the thing that everybody bitched about Jim Schwartz? Is that the team is a reflection of him and the team is undisciplined, and then you see
Schwartz and Sue stuff and
right. You know, and then Schwartzy being all hot headed and not knowing when to challenge plays, and then getting into an altercation with Harbaugh, and
right.
You know, he just his lack of discipline, I should say, his intensity just kind of wore thin with everybody, right?
You have discipline,
right? Like, everybody just wanted their team to reflect their head coach and have discipline. Now right. We have that. Well, I know Detroit's been hosed with penalties in a couple of games, but overall, this team does not have a lot of penalties.
No, but here's the thing. I think there's a happy medium between being the hothead and, you know, the guy everybody loves over here, and then being, you know, a player. I'm a player's coach. The players like to play for this guy. That still doesn't mean there's discipline. The way he talks to the media, the way he conducts himself on the sideline. No, I'm not critiquing, like, you know, he should give away the injury report and things like that. But I'm saying his demeanor. No, he's just, you can look at the report. Or, yeah, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. Or whatever. That him saying,
no,
that,
I'm in the business. I hate the media, too.
No, okay, well, let me finish this point. It's his demeanor. It's the fact that, oh, yeah, well, why didn't you challenge that? I didn't feel like we needed to challenge it. It was early in the game. We didn't need to challenge. I got something from upstairs saying maybe we shouldn't challenge. Take a risk. This coach, in my opinion, his game management is terrible.
And
his time management is terrible.
Can I bring something up
his
to that, though?
His second half corrections are terrible because they don't exist.
Terrible.
He does what he does. No matter what, we're just going to stick to the game plan. How's Matthew Stafford? Oh, you know what? Doesn't matter. We're going to stick to the game plan. Sometimes the game plan has to change because in the first half, when the game plan's not working, do something different. I've not seen that from the Lions.
I'll get down with you on that. There's no rhyme and reason to the Lions play calling in general, period, point blank. The Lions don't have any setup plays. They don't have any back page plays. You know, they don't set up anything. You know, they don't use a reverse up the middle to set up a reverse or to set up a play action deep ball. You know, you saw Aaron Rodgers, you know, and there's designed plays that he does that isn't just on the play chart, right? And then thrown into an app and then hit the randomized button and call it, right? Like
right.
You actually see him set up plays, you know, for the next quarter or something like that, right? And, you know, then all of a sudden you see him, they run plays that you haven't seen all year, like that fake pitch, right? And then he bootlegged or whatever that
right.
he took off himself, right? The Lions don't have any specialty plays like that. They really don't. There's nothing set up. They, like I said, they don't have any of the back page plays. That sort of stuff kills me. But with the whole Jim Schwartz critique, I'm sorry, the Jim Caldwell critiquing and the game management and time management, I'm just going to throw this out there, and I've thrown it out there before, but the Lions lead the league in scoring in the last 2 minutes of the first half and the fourth quarter. To me, that tells me that his in-game management and time clock management puts the ball in their possession at the end of each half. That's impressive to me. That, to me, tells me that he's doing something right.
That tells me they're not doing very good in the third quarter.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is a fact.
But that's not – but now we're talking about something different. And I guess
which
that's,
means our
I guess
scripted
that's the part,
plays work well in the first half. And then when we have to come from behind and just air the ball out and let Matt Stafford be Matt Stafford and let the athletes
be
athletes.
But why are we looking at – why are we getting
work.
Behind?
Because we're not playing in the second and third quarters. Because other teams make adjustments.
No, we're not playing
the Lions
in the third quarter.
Not.
We went in ahead of Green Bay. We went in tied with Dallas. And we went in ahead of the Giants at the half. Why did each one of those three teams have the ability to receive the ball in the second half and perceive to shove it up our bunguses within 3 minutes and for the go-ahead score right out the gate? Do you realize what that does? Everything that you accomplish in the first half, when you allow a team to come out and put 7 points up within on their first drive of the second half to take the lead, that dismantles and takes away everything that you accomplished in the first half. That 14-10 lead that you had gone within 5 minutes of the third quarter, it erases everything you accomplished in the first half.
Thus my point. Coaching. He's not a coach that will get you. I said this early on the forum. He's not a coach that is going to out-coach the other side and win you a game. There's not one game where you're like, oh, man, Caldwell out-coached that guy. Never. He isn't going to win us a game. If he got sick and didn't show up, it would be on schedule, as is. We know what the game plan is. We don't need him here. He's the figurehead. I don't think he does anything. Now, with that being said, the players love him. They do play for him. And I said this on the forum earlier as well. Get your thoughts on that Michigan Prep to Pros Sports Talk forum on Facebook. I said this earlier. Jim Caldwell, again, A, won't win you a game because he's a good coach. However, there's not much out there in the free agent market as a head coach.
That's the other thing I'm saying too, man.
There's nobody. Yeah, okay, so we fire him. Now what? Now we get who?
You know, well, nobody. Everybody wants to go after Terrell Austin. And here's the thing.
See, I was thinking McDaniels. That's who I would get.
Here's the thing about Austin, too. He's been interviewing the last 2 years. There's some sort of reason why he's not getting a job. That's what people have to realize. Like, I feel like a lot of people from this area look at things from within the state lines, but don't have the ability to look at things outside of what's happening right in front of their localized market on the television. And that kind of goes in play with the whole Western Michigan and PJ Fleck thing too. If PJ Fleck was the cream of the crop, like he has talked about in the state of Michigan, why was he just passed over for most major jobs out there?
I think because he's done it in 1 year. Well, 2 years.
If he's that good, people would be able to see that and wouldn't want to wait on that. I mean, let's be honest. If he's that good, Notre Dame, if they're looking at him, why would you want to wait a couple of years? And now all of a sudden, I mean, that's the thing about sports and the timing. And that's why programs and organizations, particularly like the Lions, fail as well, because you're always a year behind. You're always waiting 1 to 2 years. But same thing. You go in, you know, just kind of like, left tackle, for instance. Let's take Dallas's left tackle. He's a monster. I can't remember the dude's name right now, but he's an absolute beast. Huge, right? You don't take him, but the following year you go out and draft Tyler Decker, right? And he's not bad, but he's not as good as the guy that you could have had,
right?
Right, and that's the thing. I guess you know what I'm saying about. Man, I'm just flying off the rails right now. But with the Lions and what their problem is they're always a year behind. The other team is always getting the same position, but somebody better the year before, right? And then we draft the best available at that position the next year, but he's not the best, right? And he'll never be the best.
Because when you're trying to fill a team that has so many needs, you're going to miss.
Right, and that's the thing, man. I mean,
and the Lions
we don't trade Calvin Johnson. He walks, he retires. We lost him. We got nothing for him. Right?
Right.
Ndamukong Suh walked. We get nothing for him.
Fairly
walked. Got nothing for him. Those are three players that...
Do you want me to keep going? Avery.
Cliff Averill. You know? And that's the thing about the Lions. They keep these guys. They keep these guys around. Look, organizations only keep players and resign when a window is currently open. But these Lions windows aren't open, and they're keeping these guys, and they're not restocking their team. And it's just a never-ending spin cycle with these guys. They're, you know, like, what's next? We got to go out and draft our secondary, but you know what's going to happen next? Big play Slay's contract's going to be up, and he's going to walk, and now all of a sudden we've got another hole to fill, and we never built anything. Because you know they won't trade Slay. They're not going to make a trade.
No one's going to want to pay for him after his contract's up. Who's going to want Slay in 2 years?
Then why aren't we getting rid of him before these contracts are having to be made? Because they're not beneficial besides to get the suckers who buy the seats at Ford Field to get them down there.
I would never, ever, ever restructure an existing contract if I was an owner. That would just be me.
No.
I'll say, see me after the season in your last year.
Hell yeah.
And we'll negotiate.
And I wouldn't re-sign.
I'd be like, I want you to play the market too before I make an offer.
You know what? That's the thing about me and being a GM.
That's what New England
those,
does.
Those players, most of those players wouldn't have a chance to get to their last year. Why would I let them? They're going to walk away and give me nothing. I don't, what?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't allow those big-time players to get to the last year.
I'm not going
to
give somebody an extended contract, highest paid at that position in the entire league in the middle of the season.
No, the only thing I'm going to keep on rolling over contract-wise is Matthew Stafford and his quarterback contract. It's the only thing I need continuity with. And, yes, I'm still on the Matthew Stafford train. I still think he's good enough to win a team a Super Bowl. I don't think he's good enough to win the Lions a Super Bowl. I think he's good enough to win a team a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback. I feel bad for him.
We might touch on that one later on in our On the Spot.
Yeah.
I got a couple questions lined up for you.
Okay.
But you know what? You had you mentioned the Lions and possibly, you know, Matt Stafford's not good enough to win the Super Bowl. But you know what?
I want to rephrase that, though. Before we get to the playoffs, I know you want to rock out the playoffs. The Lions aren't good enough for Matt Stafford to win a Super Bowl. Matt Stafford is good enough to win a Super Bowl. I just wanted to rephrase that because I made it sound like he's not good enough to take the Lions to the next level, but he's already taken the Lions to another level, in my opinion.
Fair enough. But somebody will win the Super Bowl this year.
Yes.
And obviously the heavy favorite is New England, followed by probably, what, Dallas? Do you think anybody else besides those two teams has
the New
a
York
chance?
Giants.
You think the Giants
are
finally getting it together?
Going to be in the playoffs in the Super Bowl.
All right. So you think it's going to come down Giants, New England?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Poor Oakland. Those Raiders, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit biased with the Oakland Raiders because I had Derek Carr and I had the wide receiver.
You know what? Don't we?
Why the hell can I think of his name right now? But anyways, I had those two players. Amari Cooper. I had them on my fantasy team, so I was rooting on Oakland a lot this season. When Carr went down, it broke my heart. And then McGlone goes down, and now they're stuck with Connor Cook. And, you know, it's been a fun ride, Oakland. I just don't think you're going to have enough to take care of business. Watch out for Kansas City.
I do think Kansas City is a team that can make
some
noise
team.
The other side.
They remind me a little bit of that 2000 Baltimore Ravens team. Not quite the defense, obviously. It's a Hall of Fame defense. Everybody on that team's first ballot, it seems like. But they're just that sneaky team. They got a pretty good quarterback. No one's really talking about them. They have a terrific defense. Their running game's on point, and they got a couple backups. See, it is okay to win football games with your backup running backs. Other teams can pull that off. Isn't it unbelievable? They've had like 6-7 running backs this season. But, you know, I'm kind of rooting for Kansas City and as far as that side of the brackets go. But
only tough thing about Kansas City, and I can definitely see them in the AFC Championship. The only thing about Kansas City, though, is that they're going to run into the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They're a little banged up, but they're starting to put their stuff together, and I agree. And I'm a big Ben Roethlisberger guy. I think he's terrific. I think he's among the elite of the elite. And even at this age, I know he's had a couple injuries, but he still always seems to get it done. The guy doesn't get enough credit, I feel like, because a lot of his success came early in his career. But you know what? He's turned some bad Pittsburgh teams and turned some great. Turn them around into some great seasons.
Pittsburgh plays well in conference outside of their division, too. They play extremely well in conference outside of their division.
And Mike Tomlin doesn't get enough credit as a head coach. I think he's been great.
He's been in the media the last few days. Who was that? Wasn't that Bradshaw who teed off on him a little bit?
Terry Bradshaw.
Yo, don't dog on my man Terry Bradshaw. He's cool.
Come on. Come on, man.
Terry Bradshaw was one of those guys I always wanted to meet.
Terry Bradshaw is like the poor man's Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Terry Bradshaw, you wouldn't want to. He's one of those guys I'd want to party with.
I'd want to meet him, but I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
The guy from Duck Dynasty, the dad, Phil, started over him back in the day in college.
Yeah?
Just a funny tidbit, I thought.
Yeah.
At quarterback. He was the backup quarterback in college.
Yo, question for you.
Sir.
Detroit's on their way out to play the Seahawks.
Yes, they are.
You like that matchup?
Nope. I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later as well.
Got that lined up for on the spot?
I got a bold-ass prediction for that game.
Got a bold-ass prediction for that one. Yeah, we're going to introduce the official bold-ass prediction. We often like to make our bold-ass predictions on this show, but we're officially going to tie it in and make it a segment every week. We're going to end our show with on the spot, and then we'll end it with our bold-ass predictions for the week. You got something good lined up?
Possibly. Yeah. I think it's pretty bold considering the conversation we've had today and what I've been seeing on social media.
Right. Okay. I think mine is going to be bold for a lot of people. I don't think it's going to hold a lot of shock value because I think I've said it before and okay. I've been spewing a lot of venom about this guy recently. So I don't think it's going to hold a lot of shock value to people, but I think people are going to be like, yeah, that's pretty bold, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of that guy.
That guy?
Jabril Peppers.
Oh, that guy.
Another big game for the Wolverines that he just wasn't there.
Literally. Wasn't there.
I know. And I know that's tough because the dude was injured. So I don't want to slam on him because he wasn't part of that game. I'm just saying that he's Jabril Peppers. All that hype surrounds him. And in another big moment, he wasn't there. This time due to injury. So you don't want to insult the college student athlete and take a shot at him because it is amateur sports, right?
Right.
So I do want to keep that boundary, but another big game, and he wasn't there. He was a no-show for the Wolverines when they needed him. And you know what? I know, because it's a fine line. You don't want to knock the kid, but you know what that tells me for an athlete who's got the body that he's got? He went home and played Xbox for a couple of weeks before it was time to go to Miami. That's what that tells me. Hey, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But hey, when...
Well, he had to go to New York. He had to do all the pub for the Heisman stuff. He had to do a lot of stuff in the off, you know, in the off season.
Okay.
He's doing a whole lot of not playing football.
Hey, that's all I'm saying.
And I agree with that.
And so I don't want to
know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Now, I don't believe this.
But you don't think.
There's 3/4 of my brain.
No.
Says his hamstrings hurt.
No.
But there's
a little bit
of my brain that is all smoke and mirrors.
Ooh.
But 3/4 of my brain believes him.
Hey, you know what, though? I did say, instead of announcing it, why don't those kids just go down there and pull the old hammy move? I did say that because my problem wasn't the fact that these kids were looking at their future. That was not my issue.
But now the game plans are blown.
I had no issues with these, you know, with McCaffrey and Fournette not wanting to play in the bowl game for their reasoning. I have a problem with the announcement because of what it represented. You know?
Right.
And so I did say, why not just stick it out with your team?
I mean, technically, Fournette has been injured.
They've all been injured.
aren't we all injured?
Yes.
No, but I totally understand.
That's all. I wish the dude the best. I know reports were
Forbes came out and said that him and Jake Blood had signed with the same agent. And that, well, obviously Jake Blood is a senior, so he will be entering the draft despite, you know, any new news with his knee. And they also said that Jabril Peppers has declared for the draft. And then since then, they have rescinded because Jabril Peppers came out and said he never made that announcement.
Yeah, you want to know what that's all about, though?
Over.
You know what that's all about?
He's in negotiations with an agent.
No, he's not. It's finalized. He just didn't announce it on his terms.
Yeah.
He just wants it to be on his terms. He gone. Look,
I can't
want to know
him.
Why the report is so concrete? Because there was a specific name that was named with it.
Yeah.
That, you know, that stuff is all well and done. Look, he can deny those reports all he wants. But when it's a time and he makes his decision, all those details will be confirmed. Look, he gone. I wish him the best. But he had a disappointing career at the University of Michigan. I'll say it.
Speaking of disappointing at Michigan.
Yes.
This adds another tally
To the loss column.
Well, not to the loss column, but another missed tally in the goals for the season spreadsheet. Goals for the season: beat Michigan State, check.
Yep.
Win your non-conference games, check. Beat Ohio State.
Nope.
Win the Big Ten.
Nope.
Make it to the Big Ten tournament, win the Big Ten championship.
Nope.
Make it to the playoff.
Nope.
Make it to the national championship.
Nope.
Win your bowl game.
Nope.
What other goals do they have? Beat Colorado?
No.
We already said non-conference, so they did that.
See, and I don't even think that's a goal.
No, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right. I mean, look at Penn State. They ended up in the Rose Bowl, and they lost to Pitt. Look at Michigan State. They ended up in a Big Ten title game and in a playoff when they lost to Notre Dame. I'd almost rather see them stack up against big time teams and lose those games during the regular season than lose to Iowa. I mean, for obvious reasons.
Right.
You know, it's not that bold of a statement right there.
No, not bold, but
we'll
be bold later.
You get what I'm saying with
Absolutely.
That, though, right? But yeah, it's disappointing. Especially as a Michigan fan,
is it disappointing or is it failure?
It's disappointing.
Now that the bowl game,
let's not go there, man.
And I know we've talked about in the past, but I just want to know. Like,
no, I don't use
a 10-win season is fine.
No, I refuse to use the word failure.
Okay,
and
that's
only because I've coached before, and I'm not trying to throw the whole, well, I'm a football coach, and everybody who says failures just doesn't know the game from an inside perspective. I'm not going to go there. But I refuse to use that word failure.
Can I make an additional, extend my statement?
Sure.
Now they're losing 18 starters on
that's
18
right.
players
Look, that's
on
right.
defense.
Nah, that's all right.
You think they're going to be able to reload?
Yeah. Yeah, because it all starts up front. It all starts up front, man.
Because normally you would say, you know, if you don't want to use the term failure, which I understand, and I don't like saying it either, definitely disappointing.
It's disappointing. And look,
okay.
and it is getting extremely frustrating being a Michigan fan and having that horrible bowl record lingering over your head.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, because you want to take all this pride in Michigan and being back and all that stuff, but it's tough to subscribe to it because, look, man, they just go out and lose games to Florida State like that.
Well, I guess my point was, because you said it's not a failure because there's more things going on within the program.
Yes.
Within the program, yes, they've had great recruiting, but Michigan always has great recruiting.
You can call it a,
now, but
you can call it a failure in the pros.
They've had really good recruits in the past, but I don't think they have the coaching like they've had now, where I think the coaches can take that talent and actually do something with it. However, again, going back to the word failure, which is what a lot of people are using, I'll stick with disappointing.
Those people are idiots.
Well, here's the thing. When you say they've had success, you know, so elsewhere in the program, looking ahead, losing those 18 players hurts because they're not just 18 players; it's 11 starters.
You know what though?
On offense and defense.
You know what question is not going to be made? You know what it may because there's going to be some competition, but it'll be a good question at that point because there will be some competition. But the question that people won't have to worry about. Despite losing all that talent in the secondary and at the linebacker spot, you know damn well Michigan's going to reload in the trenches.
I know they got some great talent coming out of the state of Michigan.
They need to come in and play. And for the first time in a few years, Michigan fans aren't going to be wondering, well, who's going to play quarterback? And again,
not so fast.
But for a different reason, because there's going to be competition for it this year.
Right. It's not
going
to be, well, he's garbage. It's going to be an actual competition.
It's not going to be.
If somebody can come in and put some heat on Wilton Spate, I think that's a good thing because that means our youth is freaking good.
Well, absolutely, because
right now there's nobody.
Spate's serviceable. We can agree that Spate's serviceable,
right? I think another year in the belt, he can only get better.
Look, he's a sophomore. That's what we can say about Wilton Spate. He was a sophomore this year. He had sophomore moments in big-time games. As a senior, I don't think he makes those mistakes. So I expect him to be a little bit more groomed and a little bit more seasoned and a little bit more effective in troubled times next year. So if we have a quarterback, again, that's going to be able to outperform him, then that's a good thing. But the worst-case scenario is we've got Wilton Spate coming back as a junior with a year underneath his belt.
The one piece that is missing from this Michigan team that we've had in successful Michigan teams in the past.
Running back.
Is that go-to running back that's going to get you 6 yards when you need it.
And look, Chris Evans, as fast as he is and as good as he looks, he's not that guy either. He's not big enough.
I agree. And I like Higdon out of all the young running backs that we have. I think he's a banger that could possibly fill that role temporarily.
See, I'm talking.
But we need that.
We need a running back to come in with some muscle, man, with some thickness. That's the one thing I'm sick of seeing at Ohio State and Alabama is a running back that
6'1",
240. Physically looks like a linebacker and bigger than the opposing linebackers.
100%.
Right? Running back right there. Look, Michigan still needs time, man. There's still holes. They still need to put together a complete team. But it is getting frustrating. Not winning those bowl games, man. That's tough.
This season is much, much different if we can run out the clock against Iowa. I'll tell you that much. I think they're the 4 seed.
Possibly.
And I think they end up getting smoked by Bama anyways, but still,
right,
they're in the playoffs.
That's what I was just about to say. One thing that I've learned about this college bowl season, and it's a topic that I kind of wanted to talk on. I think we got about 15 minutes left here, but it's a topic I wanted to bring up today, so let's go there. One thing I've learned about this college football bowl season is that if there was controversy that surrounded the teams that were either in or on the outside looking in, that their fans were making a case for their team to be in, those teams didn't belong anyways. That's what I'm starting to learn about college football, is if there is controversy surrounding the team that should be in, none of them belong anyways.
Fair.
Because Clemson mopped up Ohio State. Alabama mopped up Washington. Those two teams, and there was no controversy surrounding those two teams.
Nope.
So it's no surprise to me that we see those two teams in the finals, which kind of leads me to start to believe, I know we've talked about it on the show, but why, at that point, do we expand college playoffs?
Because you would like to see USC. You'd like to see Oklahoma.
Controversy. USC wouldn't have been in even if it was an 8-team playoff because they're ranked number 9. They're still on the outside looking in. Goes back to that controversy.
But you know where I stand on the playoff, where I think it should be. I think it should be at least 16, like in the subdivision.
See,
where
that's
the top
though,
8 teams
the
get
parity,
a bye, and then
the
rest
parity
of the
in the
play.
Subdivision is a lot better than the parity at the Division 1 level.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because everybody in that sub-level gets to compete for the championship.
No.
Like you said yourself, people don't go to Western Michigan to win a championship. They go there to get their school paid for and to play some football.
Well, yeah, they're a mid-major.
If they had a chance to win a championship, they'd go there.
They do have a chance to win a championship.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They do not have a realistic chance year in and year out.
That's because they're
a mid-major
level. I
can go to North
level.
Dakota State
yes.
and win a football.
So go there. If that is what is important, if that is what is important to the student athlete, is winning a title, then don't go play Division I football.
Then don't get mad when they want to sit out of bowl games.
What do you mean? You think any one of those Western players were going to sit out that Cotton Bowl versus Wisconsin? That's a dream game for those guys.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying.
Why?
That's what I'm
saying.
Because
that's the best
they can
get.
That's even more reason why you don't have to expand to 8 or 16 teams.
You have
because
to give
you
them
know
a
what?
Chance.
That, no, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No. No,
then
why?
Why does basketball do it? Why doesn't basketball
you
just
cannot,
say, okay,
you cannot,
winner of the ACC
no,
gets
you
the title.
Cannot compare college football to college basketball. Because, again, the whole parity thing. You're talking about
okay,
a sport
what is similar?
That has, what is similar?
I can go to VCU and make it to the championship game.
In basketball?
Right, because there's parity. Why? Because any team can win it.
Look, I'm sorry to those Western Michigan recruits that they weren't good enough to get recruited by Alabama.
But the guy's not good enough to go to Duke, can go to Oakland University and have a chance at the title.
Western has a chance at the title, too.
No, they don't.
Look, if they were to rattle off another 12-win season.
Oh, so 5 years from now, that good team back at Western,
look,
can win a championship?
Say what you want about the future and compare it to this year, but that loss to Wisconsin.
You said, oh,
the loss to Wisconsin proved that they don't belong in a college national championship. So, yes, build off of this year and get better. And if you're proving that you're better than this year, if you can prove that you're better than this year, then you've got an increased chance of cracking that because you know what? They might even come in ranked number 25 this year instead of 65. And you know what?
That's not a
that
fair
Wisconsin,
assessment.
That Wisconsin and Western Michigan matchup still happened right where I wanted it to happen, in a college bowl game where it belonged. I still enjoyed that game. We don't need that game to happen for national title implications because the winner of that team is going to go get smoked, and we don't need that. That's a waste of time.
I don't think so. The reason
Wisconsin was the fourth best team in the Big Ten. Are you telling me Wisconsin deserves a shot at the national title?
If they can win.
What do you mean? This year. I'm talking this year. You want Western in.
The way it's set up right now, no. Why? Because they're not. Nowhere near the top four teams in the country.
And that's all I'm saying. Is
okay,
that we
but
spent
is the winner
year...
of the Horizon League a top four contender ever? Is the winner
no,
of
but basketball
Ohio
is,
Valley?
Basketball is not college football.
But they
football.
Let them play. And why? Because sometimes they win. Sometimes they win. Appalachian State came into the Big House and beat Michigan.
I think, and they moved up a division too. You
yeah.
see how that works?
Right. And they made a bowl game.
Look at Marshall. They dominated the MAC for a while.
They
moved
Chad,
up.
They had Chad Pennington and Randy Moss.
Up. Move up then. Build your program, Western Michigan, and move up to a Power 5.
Where are they going to go? Who's going to accept them? How much money does that cost?
What do you mean? Build your program.
That's not how it works.
Yes, it is exactly how it works.
No, you have to apply. First, you have to attempt to leave the MAC,
yes,
which is
going to
cost
that.
You big money.
And they're also going to have to renovate their facilities to be able to hold a higher capacity of fans, because if they move up to the next level of a Power 5, they're going to have to hold at least 65,000 fans in their stadium.
Right, which brings me to the point is we were good and wanted to compete for a title in 2016-17. Why does my 2020 team have to be that good now? Our coach is gone. Our AD's gone.
That's the way of the world, man.
Not if there's a playoff.
Yes. They don't belong in a college football playoff.
There'd be more parity in college football
yes or
if
no.
there's a playoff.
Yes, sir. There is a playoff. And yes
an
or no.
An extended playoff.
Could Western Michigan win a national championship if they were put in the top four?
No.
What would be their odds?
1,000,000 to 1.
Okay. So why are we putting them in that? Why
because
are we not
a tournament? You let them play. You want parity? The reason there's parity in college basketball, the reason there's parity in the subdivision, Division I football, is because everybody has a chance to win the title.
The reason why there's parity
it
in
doesn't
college
matter
basketball,
which school you go
the reason
to.
Why there's a parity in college basketball is because there's a lot more people who play the game of basketball and not as many roster spots to fill in a team either. So Duke fills up their 10 people, right? And Alabama fills up 10 people, but Alabama's still got 40 or 50 more to go, right? That's why. Because college basketball rosters don't fill 50 people. That's why there's more parity in college basketball.
I'm not buying it.
Look.
We got to get to our on the spot.
USC and Penn State, Wisconsin and Western Michigan, Florida State and Michigan, those were all games that I loved to see, and they happened in the right spot. In a college bowl game where they belong. Hashtag save college football.
Hashtag still doesn't matter because Old Dominion has a bowl win too. Good job.
Hey, those kids appreciate it. Those Old Dominion athletes, they'll remember it for a lifetime.
For their lifetime. Why? Because they're not allowed to play for the title.
No, because
that's the best they can ever do.
Because they know if they know that that's a successful season for them, because they know they weren't good enough to go to Alabama. And as soon as these
we'll
kids,
never know.
Yeah. Yes,
Appalachian State
though.
Can go in and beat
if
Michigan.
If they were good enough, they and you know what? Appalachian
Number
State won a national title that year.
Yeah, where?
Division II?
Yeah, how'd they win it?
Division 1A, I think, actually. Not Division 2, Division 1A.
Yeah.
They won it.
How'd they win it? What'd they have to do? Beat every other team that was qualified, right?
Different landscape.
Why? Why do they do it
different?
Why do they do it different in Division 1?
I don't have the answer to that, but it's a different game.
Because we know why.
Money.
Right.
Money.
Well, no, it's because there's exams. Oh, that's weird. Everyone else is doing exams.
No, look, that's just people talking shit, man. That's really not a legit reason of why they don't do it.
All right. Well, you know, we got 7 minutes left in the show. We want to get to our on the spot.
Okay.
So, do you want to go first? Or you want me to go
first?
No,
you go first.
All right. So, again, on the spot, he has not seen the questions that I'm about to ask him. I have not seen the questions he's going to ask me. He must answer these questions on the spot. First question, Jim Bob Cooter, or as using his formal name, James Robert Vagina. Do you still like him, even though the offense has been, to quote
no.
politics, deplorable the last 5 weeks?
No.
All right.
Do you want me to expand on that a little bit?
Briefly.
Oh, briefly. Okay. No. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. It's probably a topic that could have been a conversation all in its own. But again, failure to adjust, failure to be able to execute in the second half after other teams adjust. You know, the thing that disappointed me the most about the Lions is the lack of creativity, because you know they don't got a running game, but I'll be damned if a corner is 5 to 7 yards off Golden Tate, if I'm not just going to get the ball and swing it out to him and call it a running down.
I agree.
And I didn't see enough of that, so that's why, no, I don't think Jim Bob Cooter is creative enough.
I agree. Next question, your question.
My question for you. Okay. Bring this up here. My bad.
We have 5 minutes left in the show. This is on the spot. I'm about to get a question from Jerry Mack.
We're gonna make this. They're gonna work better and better, right?
So
this first one's kind of weak. Who wins the college football playoff, Alabama or Clemson?
Alabama. Clemson doesn't play enough defense. Yeah, they shut out Ohio State. Ohio State was terrible.
I was going to say, I don't know if Ohio State was terrible, but
okay,
they did shut them down, and they did prove that they can outlast Alabama last year, too.
I just don't see it happening this year.
Okay.
Would I like to see it? Yes, I'll be rooting for Clemson. I just don't think they can get it done.
Okay.
My question for you, and we had briefly teased this earlier on, you are the GM, the head coach, whatever. You have a football team. You've made the playoffs. You get to pick one quarterback to lead you into the playoffs. Is it Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers this year, right now?
I want to start answering that question by saying that I don't like that question, and I'm going to choose Aaron Rodgers.
Is it because I put you on the spot?
No, just because I think the comparison is unfair.
And that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying right here, right now, you're in the playoffs. You get to pick between Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers. It's your team, whatever is in your head.
Okay, okay.
What team do you want? What player do you want to lead your team into the playoffs right here, right now?
Is the team a Super Bowl contender?
You're in the playoffs.
Is it a Super Bowl contender?
That's not part of the question.
Then you know what?
No dancing around. You already gave your answer. That was your on-the-spot answer. Now you're thinking about it.
No, I'm going to switch it. I'm going to say that I'll take Matthew Stafford because I'm still confident that he is good enough to lead a team to a Super Bowl.
Is he better than Aaron Rodgers right now?
I would pick him to prove it. That's why. If I was coaching, I would pick it to prove it myself.
Even though your first answer was Aaron Rodgers and they switched it.
Yes, because okay. I interpreted that as looking at the Green Bay Packers versus Detroit and it clouded my judgment.
Nope, I just said the quarterback. You have your own team and you get to pick a quarterback.
Okay.
You get Matt Stafford or you get Aaron Rodgers.
Then I'm going to take Matthew Stafford just to prove to the world that Matthew Stafford can win a Super Bowl.
Right, I think you just lost your playoff game, but that's fine.
Okay.
Not saying you can't win. I think Matt Stafford's great. I just don't think right here, right now, I think Aaron Rodgers is on fire.
Okay. Going back to college football
okay. And
focusing more in on the Clemson Tigers here, and specifically quarterback Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Did the NCAA get it wrong by not giving the former Heisman the Heisman once again when he's proved that Clemson has lost defensive players? They weren't as good defensively, and they've lost some offensive players as well. Everybody talked about how Clemson wasn't as good this year, but they just romped Ohio State 31-0 and going for a second consecutive national championship. But the NCAA gave the Heisman Trophy to another freshman who didn't even make a Power 6 bowl
and got
smashed by LSU. Did the NCAA get it wrong?
Absolutely. I thought Clemson's quarterback should have won the Heisman. Anyways, it's what I said when we talked about it a couple weeks back. So, absolutely. And I think he's going to be a pretty damn good NFL quarterback.
Okay.
My last question for you.
Yes.
Unsports related. On the spot. And it's a doozy. What was the worst Christmas present you got this year? That just happened. The worst one. 90 seconds left in the show. What's the worst? I told you I was going to nail
Damn.
You.
Ruthless. Look, I'm not even trying. I'm not even doing this to, like, save face, man. I am the most simple guy when it comes to gifts. I smiled when I got a pack of Under Armour socks. I'm wearing them right now. It actually has an L on the one side and an R on the other. And I thought it was absolutely awesome. I got socks. So that's probably the worst thing I got, but it was
still appreciated.
But it was awesome. All right.
We got a minute left in the show. It's time for Bold Ass Predictions.
It
or
is.
Do you want to get in one more?
No, let's get these Bold Ass Predictions in, and then I'll let you take us out of here.
All
so
right.
My Bold Ass Prediction to kick off 2017, Jabril Peppers will be the biggest bust to come out of the University of Michigan. He's going to get drafted in the top 10 or whatever he's going to get drafted, and he's never going to be a starter.
My bold-ass prediction is the Lions are going to go into Seattle, play the Seahawks against the 12th man, and lose by at least 2 touchdowns. That's my bold-ass prediction. You have been listening to Michigan Prep the Pros, Mac and Candela. I'm Candela. We got Mac over there, and until next time, peace out.